Sherry Wallace is here, and Tara Solem is here actually in studio to talk to us about partners in policy making. Sherry, thank you so much for being here. I know I talked to Tara a few months ago about this, but we were not able to have you at the same time, but this time we are. And tell us a little bit about partners in policy making and your history with this group and what you're accomplishing.
Well, thank you for having me and having this topic as something you're interested in. I've been with Partners in Policymaking for now about 10 years doing the public relations and marketing for them. The goal is to reach families across Minnesota that are raising children with developmental disabilities and also adults who have developmental disabilities. The program is over 9 months where individuals learn advocacy and leadership skills. This is to advocate for individuals with disabilities, either advocating for their children or advocating for themselves. It's of no cost, and it's federally, because it's federally funded. The goal is, as you help people become stronger advocates for themselves or their children, you end up with stronger citizens and individuals that are much more aware that they have value, and the parents raise them as they have value, and it ends up a much more engaged, positive, competent individual to speak up.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that somehow it became very clear that in order to be effective advocates and lobbyists for the policies that will really work, you need to dig deeply into the people that are the most affected by the policy, which would be the families and the parents. And that's, I mean, it just seems like a brilliant solution to just really invest a lot of energy into helping the people that are the most affected. Is that accurate?
Well, that is exactly accurate, and it applies across the board, but especially in this case, having people or families that directly understand disabilities of themselves or their children, that they're the ones that should be speaking up and saying, this law is really hurting our family, or this law should be changed in this way, or do you realize because you have restricted us, it really makes it very difficult for our family to function? So then it becomes, I want to tell you personally what's going on. But of course, when you make laws or when you speak up, it's so much better for the individual who has a stake in it or who is hurt by a situation or a law, that they're the ones that speak up. But the challenge is, can you help people speak up? And that is really a self-awareness, a self-confidence issue, mm-hmm. that I can speak up for myself. I want to speak up. Yes, I am the person that is most aware of my child and what is best for my child. So it's really about respect, so that takes over a period of 9 months. We don't meet in December, just sort of take a breath and relax. But the class is 2 days a month, Friday and Saturday, and it's intense training, and people do homework. Tara's had to do homework, and people learn a great deal. They learn about history of how people with disabilities have been treated. They learn about the laws. They learn about how they can directly interact with people who make the laws. And that is in itself an education in etiquette.
Right.
If I am to talk to someone who makes the laws, I want to be friendly and interactive enough. So I want to approach them in a way that is pleasing to them. So it's basic etiquette.
Right.
And
yeah, I know that. So, having done lobby training as a volunteer, I totally agree that the way you approach it is critical. Can I ask Tara for you to jump in here? I'd love to hear it from the other side. So you've been in this training for many months now. Tell us your story, how you came to be doing this and what you've gotten out of it.
Yeah, I saw this opportunity online somewhere, and I decided to apply. And it was a pretty easy, short application process. And it just asked me to describe who I am, where I'm from, and kind of our disability story. My daughter is 7 years old, and she has Down syndrome, and she's just a firecracker. She's funnier than funny and just so much fun. And from the get-go, I just realized, you know, she's a human like anyone else, and she's just a little, you know, blessing. And so just from day one, I need to treat her like my other kids, but I also need to expose her to experiences because she loves that, just like I would with any other kids. So it's just been a journey of, you know, being patient.
Yeah.
There's times where I really need to just take a deep breath and choose my battles. But it's just a rewarding experience, and I want other people to experience that too, whether it's in the community of, like, she's outgoing and she wants to say hi to everyone she meets. That's important. Or, you know, just that she wants to be with her peers in school, for instance. And
right.
So just all of those opportunities that are her basic human right, surprisingly, you do have to advocate for from day one, and it really starts to be kind of a struggle when they're in the school setting of balancing all of, you know, a little bit of a deficiency between, you know, what she knows compared to her peers, but also knowing that it's important for her peers to be with her, and that vice versa, she's going to learn a lot from her peers. So, sorry, that's a long-winded thing.
No,
but anyways, just those were my present experiences that I really wanted to, you know, learn more and better myself so that I had better tools to really speak up for her and for anybody else who's out there within the school district or in our community of why this is important, and we just need to really work hard on it. It needs to be intentional.
Yeah, and what kind of tools would you say you have gleaned from your months with this Partners in Policymaking?
I think for me, just knowing where the power is and where the decision makers are, and that it really is my responsibility to advocate on behalf of our experiences and our desires and our human rights. So, you know, on the state, local, federal level, what decisions are made, where the rules are, what, you know, the legislation says. And then last month we met with our legislators. I met with Zelaznikar and Hochschild, and just talking to them on a personal level, you know, why it's important to me, and just sharing some stories back and forth. So those things were important. And just knowing that if you don't say something to someone who makes a decision, that they're not going to know, you know,
right.
So just having those good conversations. And then the other thing, like you guys both mentioned, is how to make a change. You know, there's a lot of mama bears out there, and I'm guilty, but just to be a little bit more neutral and fact-based and just tell your story and try not to get too ramped up and be able to communicate in a respectful manner where people are going to listen to you.
Did you have a sense after talking to our representatives, one of whom I just spoke to a few minutes ago on the radio,
of all things,
that you made an impression? Was it your impression that you made an impression?
Yeah. You know, I told some things to Hochschild, and he was pretty surprised with, you know, just how things work. You know, we all believe that things are going to be for the best of everyone, and sometimes it's not. And I don't think it's intentional that people are trying to squash down, you know, people with disabilities or take rights away, but you really need to be intentional because people do fall through the cracks. So it was just kind of eye-opening to him of, like, he's going to go ask his peers and he's going to be really aware. And then Zelaznikar and I had a lot in common with her being a provider in the past and, you know, just knowing how much hard work that is, but also, you know, we need good staff. And so we had that more, you know, kind of staffing conversation of, like, PCAs and, you know, schools needing support. And yeah, it was just a good conversation.
Yeah,
for both.
That sounds like it. Sherry, do you have any examples you can think of, sort of concrete things that listeners would understand of, you know, ways in which Partners in Policymaking has made a significant difference in our legal system? If that's too broad, you know, in any policy kind of a platform, like, I think specifics would be really helpful.
One very specific situation was a mother came into Partners in September. She felt very strongly that in her Red Wing, Minnesota community, there should be an accessible playground. She then right away went to the city of Red Wing, talked to their decision makers, talked to the city council, talked to the people that are in the parks department, and found that she could apply to grants and apply to, and she started doing that. She then teamed up with another mother. They both presented to city council. They found the funding. They worked closely with the parks department. So that was, I believe, about 20 years ago. And I called just this year, I called the parks department, and there was someone still working for City of Red Wing that said that was a very powerful experience of working with those mothers, understanding what they needed. And it today is a very valuable asset to our community. So it's not just for children with disabilities, but it's for all children, that it becomes a much more accessible playground. And since then, you know, you see accessible playgrounds started up, but the value that it was parents taking action because they understood their children and they personally knew this would be very valuable to our children. And you cannot stop people when they realize this is in the best interest of my family or my children, when they have an idea. But like the word of partners in policy making, they became a partner with the city. They became a partner with the parks department. They didn't go to meetings with a baseball bat, as I usually say, but they really went there with just such positive concern and positive and really being a working partner. But they were willing to put in the effort because it was better for their children and better for the community.
Yeah, that's a great example because it just shows there's like innumerable ways that the community can make a difference for people with disabilities and just for everyone and for integration of. I know that when I used to lead wilderness trips for Wilderness Inquiry, which is a program that works for people of all abilities, and we actually did canoeing in the down in Florida with people with disabilities or people without disabilities, and invariably it was the able-bodied people that expressed their most deepest gratitude for the privilege of being on this integrated trip and all that they had learned from it. And as an instructor, I found it incredibly inspiring also. So it really does benefit us all to have as little as few barriers as possible between people of different abilities, and at least that's my experience. And so it's fun to hear you talk about the playground, because I think I have actually had my kids in that playground. My husband grew up in Red Wing, and
really?
I think I know the playground you're discussing. So just a small world.
Well, but that happened because of two mothers.
Right. What a wonderful backstory to now know. Tara, do you have any specific areas that you have really dove into? We don't have a whole lot of time left, so I kind of don't I can ask you a question, but it's okay to pass on it. But just wondering if you have any specific areas of interest.
Yeah, schools are really important to me. Like I mentioned before, you know, it's good for everyone around. Even within the class, you know, when we think about us going to school back in the day, you know, people with disabilities were in a different wing of the school. They weren't integrated. You know, I had no clue about, you know, who was out there and what just diversity there is. And so even within the class, I noticed, and I know that some parents mentioned, you know, I've never talked to someone who, you know, is blind or, you know, some of those things ourselves, that exposure is essential.
Yeah.
And just realizing how the gifts that they bring and just the interactions that you can have. And so within that school setting, I want to make sure that it's my daughter's right to be in the classroom and to have an education. And there's supports out there to assist with that. And there's funding. And just being intentional about trying to figure out a way to make it work instead of just the rubber stamp of like, no, or this is the way it's got to be. But also having those communications of like, okay, you know, give and take too, of like there's reasons why people, you know, or the school district do a certain thing. So how we can make it work you know, and that's why there's IEPs, individual education plans. You can talk through those intricacies, and it's really important to read those documents and ask questions of what does the day look like. So I want other parents to just know that don't take no for an answer, or just don't take things at a face value. It's okay to ask questions, because it's really important for your own child, the children within the school district. So that's really probably the biggest thing that I want to do.
Yeah, sometimes I think the most valuable thing the parents bring is that their absolute conviction and knowledge of what their child brings to the community, as well as what the community could bring to their child. I mean, you just know your child is a valuable asset to the world, and the world deserves to have that. It's like a two-way street. Sherry, do you have any comments about where you see this going? Like, what's the vision for the future? Are there new things on the horizon, or what's the current sort of focus or platform that has been getting a lot of attention?
Well, what is now getting a lot of attention, and Tara's part of this as well, is the law was passed in Minnesota that, hey, we're giving all this help to families who are raising children with disabilities. We think they should pay, the families should pay part of it. And if families have both parents employed, and well, we're going to charge them a fee. This is called a TEFRA fee. But oftentimes there are so many challenges and unknowns in raising a child with disabilities that the people making the laws didn't realize that they are putting a huge burden by these TEFRA fees, which could almost be a house payment for some for some individuals. And they want to keep working. They as adults want to keep working. But they realize it's just such a burden. Some people end up, they cannot move to a larger home to take better care of their child because of these TEFRA fees. So I would say a big third of the class is very concerned about that law and change, and making their senator and representative aware of how unfair that is to parents who are raising children with disabilities.
Yeah, you know, it's really... I was just going to say this, this came up talking with Zeleznikar earlier this morning, just the whole problem of people fees and people working... People, who's going to pay, you know, for services in general? It is a larger question, and so it's interesting to see it come up here too. We are definitely out of time, but I hate to cut this short.
I would
short.
Like to mention this program is free.
Yeah,
there's no cost to Tara. She needs to spend her time doing all this homework and really changing her mindset, but it's free, because of how invaluable it is. And also the deadline for applying, so the next program starts in September. The deadline is the 14th of July. Now that might seem like a long ways away, but people raising children with disabilities have a lot of things on their plate, and they will be part of a variety of people. The emphasis of the class is that there's wide variety. They're from all over Minnesota dealing with all types of disabilities, and the value of a person, an adult with disabilities, along with the parents, is an enriching experience of 35, you'll be with 35 people.
Yeah.
So those are just some facts that are important to add to the mix.
And how do people apply?
Online, go to Partners in Policymaking MN, and you would be looking for Class 41. But there's a great introduction. I don't know if some of those photos are of Tara or not, but they're of people in the current class. And people just get used to me as the photographer, and I'm always taking photos. But it just shows the enriching interaction that you have with people, pretty much people that are not like you, but are a whole lot like you.
Yeah. Wonderful. So listeners encouraged to apply if they match the situation and feel like this is something they would want to do.
You bet.
Tara, do you have any closing comments?
I don't, but thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm speaking with Tara Solem, a parent who is part of this Partners in Policymaking, and also Sherry Wallace, who is the public relations person for Partners in Policymaking, and obviously a very active force behind the whole thing. Sherry, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any closing comments?
You are welcome. Just, it's an enriching thing for anyone, for people in the community who maybe are overwhelmed with raising a child with disability. And if any community member knows of those people, are friends with those individuals, please tell them that there is an incredible education just waiting for them to apply for.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again.
You are welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. That was Tara Solem and Sherry Wallace.